Yes, welcome to the NBA panel. Today I'm joined by ESPN NBA reporter Om Yongsook. Om, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Everything's good, man. Thanks for taking time in your busy days to talk to me.
No, thank you for having me.
No problem at all. Your career, man. Doing this, I've learned and heard this a lot. They love you well-rounded before a networker like approach you and see what else you can do. And you've done it throughout your whole career. You have NFL coverage, NBA. You've done a lot of your career.
Yeah, I think I learned that at a young age. But first of all, you know, when I started out, the goal was to become an NBA beat writer. I grew up in Washington, D.C., reading Michael Wilbon, David Aldridge, Tonde. Those guys were kind of like what I wanted to be, but I also knew that, you know, I wasn't going to make it to the NBA right away. And so I was like pretty much convinced that wherever I went, I was doing everything with the thought process of trying to make it to the NBA and making myself as prepared as possible. So when I was in Michigan State, I did 4 internships. I interned at Akron, Baltimore, Dallas, and Atlanta. And in every place that I went to, I did everything. I mean, I did like, in Dallas, I did rodeo. In Atlanta, I did girls high school cheerleading championships and fencing and archery at one point because the Olympics were coming at that time.
Okay.
I did high schools. I did everything. And so the thought process was that wherever I went to my first job, as long as it was in an NBA city, if I started there as a high school preps reporter or a college or whatever have you, I was just hoping to go out to NBA games at the same time on my time off and write sidebars and learn from the NBA beat writer that was in that town. I ended up sending out, 65 clips and resumes to – I looked through the NBA Blue Book. They have this thing called the NBA Blue Book for the media – which pretty much points out every publication and newspaper that covers every team in every city. And so I looked at that, and I sent all my stuff to every newspaper in every NBA city. And I got turned down by all of them. And then I ended up covering high school as my first job in Kansas City, which is not in an NBA city. But because I lived in Washington, D.C., during my holidays I'd go back, and I would try to do as much Washington Bullet stuff at that time. My editor allowed me to kind of do some NBA features here and there. And then after 1 year, I got hired to become the backup Knicks writer at the New York Daily News. But I feel like all the stuff that I did up to that point, the diversity of covering all these different sports, allowed me to kind of prepare myself to cover the NBA, but also understand, like, what's a good story. I mean, like, I ended up doing in Dallas one time this thing called American Paint Horse Championships, which to this day I can't tell you what it is other than a bunch of spotted horses that were in a competition. But what I knew was I had to just find the best human interest story, and I ended up finding, like, you know, an owner of a horse who was obsessed with her horse, let the horse sleep in her bedroom, basically, and, you know, it was like almost family to her. And everybody can relate to something like that. So like that, you know, that helps you understand like what's a good story. And then even when I was in New York, it wasn't just all NBA for me. I mean, when there was a lockout, I would do, you know, I did a lot of baseball. I did a lot of Yankees during their runs to the World Series. I did college basketball. I did tennis. I did the U.S. Open every year that I was there. I did NASCAR. All of these things just were to try to prepare me to be, you know, the best writer that I could be and understand what was a good story.
Yeah, that's great. Your preparation and your persistence has paid off. Congratulations on all your hard work.
And
congratulations on what you're about to do in the future. How's your experience been at ESPN? You had a great network.
Yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate. I've been here since 2010. So I worked in New York from 1997 to 2010 at the Daily News, which was an incredible job. And then my boss, Leon Carter, who is a sports editor at the New York Daily News, went to run ESPN New York at the time. And so he brought me and a few other writers from the Daily News, and I've been at ESPN ever since.
Yes, congratulations again. Yes, NBA is roughly 21 games in. what's your take on the current NBA right now? We got a lot of slow starts, some due to injuries, some teams implementing players back in the rotation, and some chemistry issues. But we're all having some great basketball starting to turn out now.
You talking about the whole NBA in general?
Yeah, whole NBA.
Yeah, I think it's been a little surprising because at the start of this season, there were a lot of teams that we thought were going to be tanking for sure.
Yes.
And they just got off to a hot start.
Yes.
And I think what we've seen is that a lot of this might be a product of where the NBA is, like health-wise, medically, is that a lot of veteran teams, they don't try to do too much in training camp. They pretty much try to put their players in bubble wrap and make sure that they're going to be healthy for the long run because they have bigger goals in mind, like the LA Clippers, for example. And so, you know, you have these younger teams, they're just going hard right in training camp. And then they come out right off the gates and they're running hard. Young players, they don't know any better. They're just going to go hard all the time. Whereas veteran teams, you know, they tend to treat the start of the season almost like it's preseason extended. And so what you've seen is that these young teams with nothing to lose were getting off to these hot starts. But then I think, you know, one of my boys I grew up in high school, he has a saying, water always finds its level. And so I think, like, you know, you're going to see, like, some of these, you know, teams that were supposed to be bad, they are starting to become bad and things are starting to kind of go down a little bit. Utah plays a good brand of offense under Will Hardy. Give him a lot of credit. But, you know, they're now kind of slowly coming down a little bit. They're only two games above 500 now. I think they're seventh in the standings, so in the West. And I think what you're going to see is once the good teams like the Clippers, the Grizzlies, the Pelicans get a little more healthy, get some bodies back, I think you'll start to see, like, you know, the better teams kind of make their push.
Yeah, one team that's been turning water that you just alluded to, the Clippers, Kawhi and PG's been out with injuries. And the 13 that's in, they're the fifth in the West right now. So they're still in a good position this early in the season.
Yeah, I think with the Clippers it's been really rough for Ty Lue because he had to start the season with his best player coming off the bench 6 minutes into the second quarter. We had never seen anything like that before because Kawhi didn't want to, like, start the game and then sit real time for, like, 30, 35 minutes. He also wanted to play, like, as much of the fourth quarter as possible and finish the game. And so they tried doing that in two of the first three games. Then he got hurt. And then when he came back after, like, I don't know, it was like seemed like it was like 20 games or something like that. When he came back, and it might have been like 15 games. When he came back, you know, he just was out of sync and he was playing catch up. And then he rolled his ankle, and so he's been out ever since. Paul George strained his hamstring tendon about almost 2 weeks ago. Luke Kennard's been out. They just lost Norm Powell to a groin strain. And so it's just been it's been one injury after another, and I think they're just hoping that, you know, if they wait a little bit longer, maybe they can get these guys all back healthy and get past the injury bug and start developing on their chemistry. The problem is that the Clippers, their schedule is jam-packed. They've got, like, 61 games by the All-Star break, and then after that it's, like, only 21 games. So they've just got to pack in a lot of these games and try to find a good place to bring back these injured bodies when they're healthy.
Yeah, and the Bucks are about to get Middleton back, and that's a problem for the league because right now the Bucks are 18-4, right behind the Boston Celtics, and Giannis has been holding down the fort for Milwaukee, putting up over 32 a game.
Yeah, Middleton will be great for them. I mean, Brooke Lopez has been great early on in the season. The role players are doing a good job. Giannis is playing like the MVP. They've won like three in a row, so you know, it might take Middleton some time to kind of get going and develop some chemistry, but I mean, this is why a lot of people picked the Milwaukee Bucks to come out of the East and win the East and maybe even win the NBA championship. I mean, although Boston looks incredible right now.
Yes, they do. And so Al Horford for getting on to your extension. I mean, he's extending his career by extending his shot, which a lot of players do in their older years. Like, you know, Michael Jordan did it. He started doing fadeaways and backing down when his athleticism went away. So he's doing the right thing.
Yeah, Al Horford, I mean, he was never the most athletic guy to begin with, so like, but he's always been smart, crafty. His basketball IQ is great, and he was, you know, he extended his career by being able to extend his game out behind the arc, and so by it being more of a perimeter big now,
but always have been good defensively, and then just kind of being a leader that he is, he's just a great fit for the Boston Celtics.
Luka has been put in work. I think they missed Jalen Brunson. This offense was a mess. Teams have chemistry. That was a great fit, but they let him go to New York where they paid him a lot of money, so that's his only way. But I think they missed Jalen Brunson's offense. They added Kemba Walker, but I don't think it's going to be the same fit.
Oh, yeah, they missed Brunson a lot. I mean, some things were out of their hands. I mean, they had it in their hands when they could have given him an extension a while ago, and they chose not to. And they played that out, and they lost that hand. You know, that was the risk that they took, and they lost. So, unfortunately, for a team like Dallas, you cannot lose somebody like Jalen Brunson and not get anything back. And I think that's what hurt them this season the most. And Luka, you know, the supporting cast is not great. I think Dallas would like to upgrade it, but they're limited in what they can do. Yeah. Perhaps what we may see, and I think a lot of teams, like a lot of contenders, are hopeful about this, is that once teams decide to really start, maybe some surprise teams that didn't think they were going to tank, but now are just like, you know what, it's end of December and we're not where we thought we would be. Let's go all in for Wembanyama. Then there might be some teams that really might just have a fire sale for guys. And I think maybe some teams are hoping that they can get a really good player for a much lower price than they thought they could ever get.
Yes. Victor Wembanyama, the sweepstakes. We all know the Lakers pick belongs to the Pelicans. Right now, the Pistons and the Rockets are a 1-2 race for that lucky spot right now.
Yeah, you can throw in Orlando in there too. And, you know, Charlotte, obviously, you know, they're 6-15. I mean, when LaMelo comes back, I don't know. If I were Charlotte and I were Michael Jordan, I would decide to go in and tank as well. I mean, you're already 6-15. I mean, yes, there is the play-in game in which they're only like 3.5 games out, I guess, right now. But if I'm Charlotte and this is once-in-a-lifetime prospect out there like Wembanyama, I would think about it. And I think this is a dilemma that a lot of teams are going to have to figure out in the next like 3 weeks. Is whether or not they want to try and go for the play-in game and get some of these young guys experience or, you know, decide like, hey, we're going to be all in it. Like the Spurs, you know, Spurs started off the season strong. Right. And now all of a sudden they were just like, no, what are we doing? We need to focus on what our goal was anyways, which is a tank. And they're doing a great job of it. They lost 9 in a row, I think.
Yeah, definitely. 1-9 in their last 10 games. Yeah, they're back on track with people that think they're not going to do that well in the West. One thing we see that's doing bad, we didn't think it was going to be that bad this early, are the Lakers. Right now they're in 13th. LeBron in year 20 is trying to hold the team down. He's like 2 points below his season average, but he's still on pace to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar this year. The Lakers just released Matt Ryan, I believe. You think they're going to pick up more shooting? I think so. He was one of the better three-point shooters. It was the last few games he wasn't that good, though. He wasn't that consistent.
They need the shooting, but, you know, they waive Matt Ryan to open up another roster spot. The date that everybody's looking at is December 15th when guys who were signed during the summertime can officially be traded. So I think the Lakers are hoping that once that date comes along, there are going to be a lot of teams maybe calling them, seeing what, you know, the Lakers have to offer. Obviously, the Lakers have 2 first-round future picks. This year's obviously New Orleans can take it in a swap. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be real interesting to see what the Lakers decide to do because they're about to go on a tough road trip. I think it's like a 6-game trip. And, you know, usually how these things work is like if the Lakers have a bad road trip, it's only going to create that much more urgency for them to feel like they need to make a move. Now, now the Western Conference is there's a lot of parity. And so nobody's really pulling away from anyone. I mean, the Phoenix Suns are on a winning streak, but even with that, I mean, it's like they're still only like 2 games ahead of the third place Pelicans and 3 games ahead of like the 5th place Clippers. The Lakers are like, I think, like 2 games out of the 10th spot for the play-in game. So, you know, the Lakers aren't that far out. But if they go on a losing streak or they have like some sort of slide, that could really hurt them. And so it's imperative, I think, with guys like veterans like LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who are only like a couple years removed from winning the championship, to stay engaged, to know that they have a team that they can compete with. So I think it's, you know, the Lakers have to make a move. It might not be the blockbuster move that their fans could be hoping for, but hopefully they'll get one or two more pieces that can help them shoot, veterans that can score and
right.
Play defense and really kind of bolster that unit.
Yeah, the Lakers struggle was recently friendly to them. They had two games against the Spurs to help them get to 8-12 right now. And if they would have won those, they might be looking at 6-14 right now. It's totally different headed into playing Milwaukee tomorrow night. So they got a tough task in their hands tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're one buzz, you know, they're one buzzer beating shot away from I think winning 7 of their last 8 games. Indiana obviously hit that shot at the buzzer to beat them. I think the Lakers blew like a 17-point lead or something like that. So they really could have been on, you know, at this point now, they just can't be giving up games. They got to, like, win every game that they're supposed to take care of, because you're right, when, you know, they go to a place like Milwaukee, the odds are against them to actually pull that one out.
Yes, as you said earlier on, the Celtics are balling right now. Jason Tatum is 10 above his career average, and Jaylen Brown is 10 above his career average also. And I know defense wins championships. They ran into a bust all last year in the finals playing the Golden State Warriors. But if Golden State Warriors wasn't that hot, if they weren't that hot, if Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown continue playing like that, they have a great chance of winning a championship this year. Because we all know if they get hot and other teams are not, they can outscore. They'll score an opponent. I mean, anything can happen.
I mean, to be honest with you, look, if Golden State didn't have championship experience, and Boston didn't, I mean, I would have thought that Boston should have won last year's finals. Boston just, like, didn't have enough experience of being in that moment and kind of knowing how to pull out those type of games, especially
yeah.
at home. Golden State really kind of got a lot of breaks. I mean, in the first round, they faced Denver without Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. Second round, they faced Memphis. Memphis looked like they were ready to beat the Warriors. But then, you know, John Morant got hurt a little bit, and then also
yeah.
the Grizzlies didn't have that experience. In the Western Conference Finals, they faced Luka and Dallas, but Luka didn't have enough help around him. And so the when Warriors get to the finals, you know, Boston's giving it to them early on,
right.
and Boston looked like a team that was much more athletic than them. And when they played, you know, definitely were handling the Warriors. It's just that they just didn't have the experience to know how to pull out those big moments, to know how to stop runs, to know how to go on runs. Those are things that they got last year. Now, I got to admit, before the season started, with all the drama that was surrounding them and Udoka, I thought, you know what, this could be trouble for Boston. But, man, Boston's been incredible. They are taking care of business. It doesn't matter whether or not they're playing Eastern Conference opponents or Western Conference opponents. They're looking good, and so – credit to the Celtics. It looks like, you know, they've kind of like taken what they learned in the NBA Finals, and it's made them even hungrier. I think the Eastern Conference playoffs, though, is just going to be a gauntlet this year. Because, look, you know, Philadelphia right now, they're licking the wounds trying to get James Harden back. It looks like James Harden's getting close. They just
right.
got Embiid back.
Yeah.
You've got Milwaukee. The Eastern Conference is really tough. So it'll be really fun watching that come playoff time.
Yeah, and the Cavs are a whole problem. I mean, the Cavs are going to be an issue.
They're a lot of fun watching them. The thing about the Cavs, though, is that this is their first year together, so they really got to, you know, kind of it's another thing. They need that experience, and also, you know, hopefully they have enough like leadership there, because I mean Donovan's looked great, Garland's looked great. Who is their, like, established leader that's going to kind of get them through these, you know, when things get tough? And so, but so far they've been great. They're exciting to watch. They're fun to watch.
Yes.
I know Jared Allen's been hurt a little bit, but when he comes back, it'll be real interesting to see what Cleveland can do.
One thing you can't forget about in the East are the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, Kevin Durant, I mean, Kyrie Irving, and Ben Simmons is coming around for his injuries to injury. They're a team that's obviously a title contender with Kevin Durant. It's like they can't stay on what's the word before the consistency. They're losing the teams they should win. And we all know earlier on you ought to beat teams you're supposed to beat.
Yeah, Brooklyn. I think, you know, Brooklyn needs time together. They always seem like they're one Kyrie drama away from just basically, you know, things pulling the strings out and pulling the chair from underneath them. Defensively, they need to get better. I think they're starting to do that under Jacques Vaughn. They seem to at least have, like, at least they're pulling in the same direction now. Under Steve Nash, it was just kind of, and I don't blame Steve Nash for this. I just think Steve Nash was kind of dealt a bad hand. Guys were hurt. They were injured. You know, guys just did not seem to be interested in trying to win. There was definitely something missing there. Now that it's gotten a little more quiet around Kyrie for now, you never know when the next thing comes about, but they look, they're kind of, you know, they're playing a lot better than what they were earlier in the season. You know, Durant is obviously putting up big numbers. I think Nick Claxton's starting to look good, but Ben Simmons getting hurt just as he was starting to play really good basketball is hurting them again. So, you know, they got to kind of get healthy and then, you know, kind of like keep steadying the boat. If you can just steady things out and kind of get past all that drama and keep playing and keep building, I think that's going to be the best thing for Brooklyn.
Yeah. You got to take us through your process for selecting your game picks, bro.
Oh, my kicks?
Yeah. What's your process of selecting your game picks?
Oh, man. I have so many shoes that, like, I tried something this season, which was to wear different pair of shoes to every game that I go to. And then, you know, never wear those pairs of shoes again at a game,
right.
At least.
Right.
And I'm saving some of my best ones for the playoffs. So, like, I'm not even, like, throwing out, like, a lot of 11s and things like that. But the thing is also I have some 11s, like, several 11s. I have several pairs that I have multiple pairs of.
Right.
And some of them, like, the other thing that's kind of motivating me to do this is, like, there are a lot of shoes that I just haven't worn. And, you know, I don't want to open up the box, put them on, and they disintegrate. So a lot of the motivation, too, is, like, let's just – starting these shoes, like, I've been saving them for so long, and I just recently moved places, and so a lot of my shoes are kind of like they've been in bins, and so now I have a little more access to them, so it's like, you know, I just thought I'd figure I'd try that out for now, but it's also kind of like it's a little bit of work because I gotta figure out, like, what shoe am I gonna wear tonight and how do I match my outfit to it, and how do I also save some of my, you know, best heat for, like, the playoffs as well. So, you know, and I'm still buying new shoes too. So it's like, I still got shoes coming in. It's crazy. I got too many shoes, man.
That's what's up. Thank you so much for your time, man. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You too. Have the rest of your day.
Thanks.
Yes, that was ESPN NBA reporter, Om Youngmisook. Thanks for joining me. Catch you next time.